Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can look up those questions over the air. Now go find us on online too at our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. A couple good reasons to do that. If you're listening to the iShow and you got to leave the car and you got to turn us off, but we're in the middle of an interesting discussion, subscribe to our podcasts. You can get a podcast of our program, usually a week after the program airs. Usually going to be available the Sunday following the Saturday that the program was on. The podcast can be downloaded automatically to your device, and you can go ahead and listen to us and hear what you missed. Or if you can't tune in when our program is live or on the iHeartRadio app, you can always hear us on the podcast. Follow me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, or look for us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. You can find us there. During the next hour, we're going to discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. And we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I'll often have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's happening in your eyes, but the advice that we give over the radio is free. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, usually we like to start out the program talking a little bit about some of the things that have gone on in the office over the past week or so, but I'm going to take a little exception to that and go to the phones, because we do have a caller standing by. We have George in Honolulu. Hi, George. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. I noticed a lot of people have some real white, clear eyes, balls.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, they look like white china, some of them. And then mine, I kind of got... they're not really white, but they got reddish in them. And I don't read a lot. I don't watch too much TV and no eye strain. But I'd like to know what you can do to make your eyeballs look real clear.
Well, George,
clearer than they are.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I know eye drops, but is there anything else?
There's not a whole lot that you can do. You know, everyone is born with a little different tendency, and as you get older, things change as well. So really, if your eyes are kind of a yellowish color or a little bit more reddish and stuff, unless it's being caused by some kind of a condition affecting your eyes, there may not be too much you can do. So there's the most common condition that causes redness of the eyes is just a little irritation of the eyes due to dryness of the surface of the eye. So for those people who we think the redness is being caused by dryness of the surface of the eye, we recommend moisture drops, artificial tear drops in the eyes 3 or 4 times a day, warm compresses to the eyes. But if it's just red because it chronically is just a little red, drops don't really help that much. And the drops that are specifically designed for reducing the redness are only of temporary benefit. So you could get Visine or one of those redness-reducing drops and put them in your eyes, and your eyes would look white whiter for a period of time, but then it wears off again. And the more you use it, the less effective they become. So there's not really a whole lot you can do to make the eyes look more white, assuming that there's no underlying cause for the redness. So first thing would be check with your eye specialist, make sure that everything is okay as far as the health of the eyes, and then if so, you know, really not too much I'd recommend.
What about the diet for that? Is there a specific diet or anything?
Well, that's an excellent question. I am not aware of any particular foods that affect the color of your eyes or the way the eyes look. A lot of people say, oh, eat this or eat that. It's good for your eyes. It's good for your heart, whatever it is. And some of this is supported by studies and some of it is just sort of legend, you know, urban legend. But as far as the eyes go, there is good evidence that antioxidant vitamins like vitamin A, E, vitamin C, some of the antioxidants like lutein and xanthine, can maybe help with some things in the health of the eye. But as far as the appearance of the eye, don't really make a difference as far as we know.
You just mentioned warm compress on the eye. Is cold compress better?
Probably if the eye's a little dry, warm compresses help the flow of tears, encourage the flow of tears a little bit more. So usually I'd stick with warm compresses if what we're treating is dryness of the eyes.
One more question. You know, sometimes my eyes water. You know, just this yawning or something. But I always feel that that's good when your eyes water. The tears, the liquid is good for the eyeball, right?
Yeah, the tears are designed to lubricate or moisten the surface of the eyes. Actually, yawning, it's an interesting reflex. Yawning actually stimulates the production
of
tears.
Yeah, yawning, that's it. Yeah. Sometimes your eyes will water light. And I always thought that was good.
Yeah, those are called reflex tears. The reflex tears come when you're crying, when something is in your eye, when you yawn sometimes. When your eyes are a little bit irritated, you get reflex tears, and they're designed to kind of refresh or lubricate or wash out any impurities in the surface of the eye. So it's good. It's a natural process. It's certainly, I don't know that it's creating some great benefits for your eyes, but it certainly serves a useful function.
One more question. I get two for one.
Okay.
What about, you know, my eye itches a little bit, maybe one or the other, and I notice that there's kind of a crust around the eyelashes. What causes that?
Okay, well, based on everything that you've told me so far, you said your eyes tear sometimes. You said you get some crusting around your eyes. You said it. You get a little discharge, a little.
It's not much.
Some of these other.
It's a little bit. It's enough that when you rub them, it makes you feel good to get it away.
So, based on what you're telling me, it sounds like you may have an issue going on with a little dryness of the surface of the eye. Now, there are four or five things that can cause dryness of the surface of the eye, so it's something that you have to really have an examination of your eyes to figure out what the best way to address that or treat that is. If it doesn't bother you much, you probably don't need to worry about it, but if you're continuing to have all of these symptoms, then you may want to get it checked out to make sure there's not something else you might do that might improve the symptoms. But it doesn't overall sound like anything serious. Dryness of the eyes ranges in severity from very mild to quite severe, where it can cause damage, permanent damage to the vision. But generally, the symptoms that you're experiencing are a symptom of mild dryness of the surface of the eyes. So certainly if it bothers you, get it checked out. The discharge that you're describing is usually some dried mucus, which is a part of the tear film. And when there's more mucus in the tear film than there should be because other components of the tear film are missing, then that'll often lead to a little more discharge on the eyelashes and the lids. And there are a few things you might be able to do to enhance that a little bit, but it's hard to say over the phone without actually looking at your eyes.
Bog, when we have bog here, does that affect the eyes much?
When you have what?
Bog.
Bog.
Volcano eruptions.
Right. A lot of people are sensitive to the VOG, and it does cause itching and burning of their eyes. So certainly if you're sensitive to VOG, it can irritate your eyes.
Oh, not real serious, so, huh?
Usually not, unless you have a severe reaction to it. But, people react to pollution in different cities. You know, here, the form of pollution that we have, because we're way out in the middle of the ocean, is most pollution is fairly mild, but the VOG actually is a form of pollution. It's sulfur compounds in the air, which are irritating to our eyes and our noses, and some people have an allergy and reaction to the VOG, and so it is a very real issue. Well, George, thanks for your call. I hope that
What is the best over-the-counter to get for the eyes?
What's the best over-the-counter eye drop? Well, you know, I usually recommend any of the artificial tear preparations that have disappearing preservatives, or in other words, they're artificial tears, but they're designed to be used as frequently as you want inside the eyes. So there are a few that I usually like, that I recommend. One is called Genteel. So you just think of gentle, Genteel. One is called Systane, S-Y-S-T-A-N-E. One is called Refresh. You refresh your eyes. One is called Blink Tears. There are quite a few of them. They all have their benefits. Some feel more comfortable for some people. Some feel more comfortable for others. So you just go ahead and buy what's on sale and see how it works for you.
Oh, wow.
Any type of artificial teardrops, not the redness-reducing drops, just the regular teardrops.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Doctor. Merry Christmas.
Aloha. Merry Christmas to you, too. So dryness of the surface of the eyes is certainly an issue that comes up repeatedly, and we'll talk more about it in future segments of perhaps this show, and definitely in future shows. We'll be right back after this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
By those graceful years, we were young and life was sharp and clear. Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes.
All right, welcome back, and here we are in the next segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. Hawaiian Eyes. Hawaiian Eye Show, there you go. And we wanted to talk about some of the things that have come up in the office over the past week or two. And one of the things that seems to have come up several times this past week was people were getting somewhat confused between the difference between cataract and cataract surgery and LASIK, or laser vision correction. And the reason it's confusing is because cataract is probably the most common eye condition which is surgically treated in, probably among all people, but particularly among senior citizens. And LASIK is the most heavily advertised of all the eye procedures. So everyone has heard of LASIK, and most people have heard of cataract because it is so common. Maybe their friends have had it, or their parents, or their grandparents. But people know that they both have to do with the eyes, but don't really understand what the difference between the two is. So in order to understand the difference, you need a little bit of background information. So let's talk about cataract surgery versus LASIK and what the differences are. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about some similarities. LASIK is a procedure that's designed specifically to correct your vision, to improve your vision without glasses. So people who have LASIK typically have good vision with glasses, and they have LASIK so that they have that same good vision without glasses, in a simplified way of approaching it. Okay, so LASIK doesn't treat any underlying medical condition. It just helps you see better without glasses. So the underlying condition is you need glasses. The correction is you have laser done to reshape your eye so that you're not needing glasses as much anymore. With cataract surgery, the similarity is that many people who have cataract surgery are less dependent on eyeglasses after the surgery than they were beforehand. And so in that sense, it shares some common background or some common, some common goals with the LASIK procedure. So people who have LASIK are specifically doing it to reduce the need for glasses. People who have cataract surgery are doing it because a cataract is blurring their vision. So cataracts are a clouding of the lens in the eye. As you get older, the lens gets cloudy, and that over time, as it becomes more significantly clouded, that lens begins to interfere with the vision. When the lens blocks or blurs the vision, that makes it harder to see. And so when the vision is not as good as it should be, removing or fixing that cataract is likely to make the vision better. When we take out a cataract, we're removing the lens inside your eye. Your lens focuses light in your eye. Without that lens, the light is way out of focus. So that means your vision without a lens in your eye would be way blurry. So way blurry vision is not a satisfactory alternative in today's day and age with technology what it is. So over the past 40 or 50 years, the development of cataract surgery has progressed to involve the use of a lens implant that replaces the focusing power of the natural lens in the eye. So we remove the natural lens, we put an implant in the eye, and that focuses the vision, and for most people results in good improvement of the vision, clearer vision. But that implant has a certain power or strength to it, so we can choose the power of the implant in order to improve the focus of the vision as well. So most people who have cataract removed, if they were quite dependent on glasses before surgery, often after surgery they're significantly less dependent on eyeglasses. Okay, so that's something that cataract and LASIK have in common, that both can, often after the surgery, can result in better vision without glasses. But the reason for doing it is completely different. LASIK is done solely because you want to reduce your need for eyeglasses. Cataract surgery is done to treat a medical condition in the eye called cataract. Okay, now, the similarity actually has become closer in recent years, because with cataract surgery nowadays, we can combine the removal of the cataract with specific additions to the procedure, specific enhancements to the procedure, which provide for better focus of the vision, better vision without glasses. That means that when you have your cataract removed, if your eyes are suitable candidates for this technology, you can have a lens implant placed in your eye, you can have astigmatism in your eye corrected, you can have a number of other things done to maximize your vision so that without glasses after the cataracts have been removed, your vision is pretty good both for distance and for close-up without glasses. Now, it does involve additional work in addition to the cataract surgery itself to give you this overall good youthful vision for distance and near, and it's not 100%. Some people don't end up perfect. Many people do still wear eyeglasses once in a while afterwards. But for the majority, the vast majority of people who have vision correction associated with cataract surgery, they end up seeing well once both eyes have been corrected, both distance and near, without glasses or with significantly less dependence on eyeglasses. So this is where cataract surgery is becoming similar to LASIK surgery in some respects, and certainly there's a lot of confusion out there about it. So we'll talk about the actual procedures themselves in a minute and how they differ, but the main thing to remember is that LASIK is a purely elective self-pay procedure which is done specifically to reduce or eliminate the need for eyeglasses. And people who have LASIK generally are either significantly nearsighted or significantly farsighted or have a lot of astigmatism, and they need to wear glasses to correct their vision or contact lenses. And in having LASIK, they reduce their need for eyeglasses or contact lenses. And so it's a purely elective procedure paid for entirely by the patient, not by insurance, because it is not to correct any kind of medical condition or what's considered any medical condition. Now, cataract surgery is to treat a medical condition known as cataract. Cataract affects people most commonly over age 60, but it can affect anyone. Cataract causes a progressive decrease or blurring of the vision over time. And if you have cataract, then that results in a gradual loss of vision over time. So the cataract surgery is designed to improve the vision and help you see better. Most people who have cataract surgery see better after the procedure, but do require glasses either for reading vision or maybe for both distance and reading vision. The new form of cataract surgery, or the things that we can add to the cataract surgery now, help to improve people's vision so that they see better both distance and near after surgery without correction, without glasses or contact lenses. And in order to do these additional things, we need to use a special lens. We need to do some additional work. We often need to correct astigmatism. And all of these things are not included in or covered by insurance. So for cataract removal, the standard cataract removal is covered by most insurance plans. But for removing a cataract and correcting the vision at the same time, this is generally, the vision correction portion of it is generally not covered by insurance. And so what that means is that cataract surgery itself is generally covered, but there's an out-of-pocket expense to get the vision correction. So in that sense, you could think of it in a way, although it's not the same procedure at all, but you could think of it in a way of doing the same thing that LASIK does in addition to your cataract surgery with one advantage. LASIK gives you good vision for distance generally, but doesn't really do much for the near vision or reading vision. And cataract surgery corrects both distance and cataract surgery with the refractive enhancement, with the additional work to improve the focus, corrects both distance and near vision. So this is another big difference. So LASIK is a laser used to reshape the surface of the eye, so the surface of the eye only is affected. Cataract surgery is a procedure actually inside the eye because the cataract sits inside the eye. LASIK can correct distance vision, so if you're under 40, then that's fine for both far and close generally. But by the time you get into your mid-40s, most people are having difficulty with their near or close-up vision, and reading vision is not as good as it used to be. And they need reading glasses or bifocals or glasses in the distance and read without glasses. Somehow or another, there's a difference between your distance and near vision once you're into your mid-40s. And cataract surgery with the refractive enhancement, the upgraded cataract surgery, then is capable of correcting both distance and near vision, so that it actually does have an advantage over LASIK in that sense. Now, it's also a little bit more invasive surgery, so you wouldn't want it really instead of LASIK for most people. And there may be other options down the road that are going to correct distance and near vision with new versions of the LASIK procedure. So LASIK affects the surface of the eye. It's a surgery on the surface of the eye using the laser to reshape the eye. Cataract surgery is actually doing a physical surgery to go inside the eye, remove the natural lens of the eye, which is a cataract, become cloudy. It's blurring the vision. We remove the natural cataract, replace it with a lens implant. If we want to add a refractive component, meaning a component to correct the vision, reduce the need for eyeglasses, then we can do that at the same time as the cataract surgery. So refractive surgery is surgery to reduce the need for eyeglasses. LASIK, or the add-ons that we can do for cataract surgery, is considered refractive surgery. And a cataract surgery itself is to fix an underlying problem inside the eye. So I hope that makes it a little bit clearer. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 72 degrees in Honolulu. I'm Linda Dela Cruz, and here's what's happening. Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain is expected to say whether he'll stay in the race. Cain had said he would not decide the future of his campaign until he spoke to his wife face-to-face about an allegation that he had a 13-year extramarital affair. Several other women have accused Cain of making unwanted sexual advances. Former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky says he never sexually abused any child, and he says prosecutors have twisted his work with children. Sandusky, who is charged with molesting 8 boys connected to his charity, tells the New York Times that many kids have considered him a father figure and that his wrestling and hugging the children just happened that way. Police on the Big Island are still looking for 2 men who robbed a 68-year-old man in Hilo. The robbery happened at about 8:30 p.m. on October 28th. The victim said he had no money. Then the robbers beat the victim, who became unconscious. When the victim came back to consciousness, his wallet was on the ground and the robbers were gone. Anyone with info can contact Crime Stoppers. The Doubletree Alana is the site of where people can rent the Nissan Leaf electric vehicles on Oahu. Green Car Hawaii has 2 charging stations at the hotel. It costs $15 an hour to rent the car, or about $95 to $115 for the day. Hawaiian Airlines plans to hire 275 flight attendants in its expansion to the mainland and international areas. About 2,000 interviews have already been scheduled for Monday at the Blaisdell Exhibition Hall. In island weather, it's going to be sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, it's going to be partly cloudy with a low reaching 64 degrees. Tomorrow, it's going to be sunny with a high near 80. Then it's going to be mostly clear with a low around 69. Currently in Honolulu, it is 72 degrees. I'm Linda Dela Cruz.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, and here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we do have some open phone lines, and this is the time when we traditionally take your calls. So if you want to give us a call, there are phone lines open here. It's 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're calling from the Neighbor Islands, it's 888-565-8383. And we're here live Saturday morning. Saturday mornings are the morning that we broadcast the program live over the air here in Honolulu, and if you want to listen to a rebroadcast, we're often on sister station KH, one of the sister stations here. I think it's used to be KHBZ, but I can't remember now. They've changed the call letters. Anyway, the show is rebroadcast on Sunday afternoons, but we're also available. Oh, it's KIKI is the rebroadcast station. That's right. I knew they changed the call numbers. So you can hear us on usually Sunday evenings on KIKI. And we're also available online. If you go to the website, www.hawaiianeye.com, there is a link to the radio programs. And you can generally hear programs in the past several weeks. And if you want to get the programs podcasted to you directly, there's also a link to a podcast, and you can go ahead and get that set up and get those onto your iPod or phone or whatever device you prefer to listen to the Hawaiian Eye Show on. It's amazing all the multimedia facets that we can now do with the technology as it currently exists. So let's talk about some iNews, some of the things that have come in over the past week or two about the eyes. I have an article here that talks about upper eyelid surgery. It says upper eyelid surgery improves vision and quality of life. So basically, a study says upper eyelid ptosis, which is drooping of the upper eyelid, and blepharoplasty surgery, which is surgery to correct that, significantly improve vision and quality of life, researchers report in the journal Ophthalmology. The patient's subjective report of functional impairment from drooping eyelids is highly predictive of symptomatic and objective improvement that can be achieved following ptosis and blepharoplasty surgery, according to Dr. Ken Cahill from Ophthalmic Surgeons and Consultants in Ohio. Dr. Cahill and his colleagues reviewed 13 studies in an effort to evaluate the functional indications and outcomes for blepharoplasty and ptosis repair as part of the American Academy of Ophthalmology's Ophthalmic Technology Assessment Program. Physicians are increasingly required to prove the value of the care we provide to patients as third-party payers attempt to cut costs, according to Dr. Cahill. The reviewed literature provides data indicating that ptosis and, which ptosis again is drooping of the eyelid, and dermatochalasis, which is extra skin hanging down over the eyelid, independently impair visual field and patient well-being, according to the researchers. So basically, just to clarify what they're saying there, is that that we're trying to assess whether fixing droopy eyelids or extra skin that hangs down over your lids and blocks part of your vision is going to be helpful. It says quantitative measures that were significantly improved by upper eyelid surgery included reduced margin reflex distance. That's a way of measuring how high the eyelid sits on the surface of the eye. A superior visual field loss of at least 12 degrees or 24%. So that means the upper part of the peripheral vision was improved. And down gaze ptosis, impairing reading, meaning that when you look down to read a book or something, the lids come down also and block your vision, make it hard to see up close as well. And it says patients experienced significant subjective improvements in other deficits, including self-reported functional impairment from upper eyelid droop, chin up backward head tilt induced by visual field impairment caused by lids, interference with occupational duties and safety resulting from vision impairment caused by the upper lids, and symptoms of discomfort, eye pain, or visual interference due to the eyelid position. So in other words, not only did they measure improvements, but they also were able to find that when they questioned the patients who had had these procedures done, that they reported actual improvements subjectively. It says reports were less convincing for the benefits of ptosis and blepharoplasty surgery for patients experiencing dermatitis or an inflammation of the skin or difficulty wearing a prosthesis, which is someone who has an artificial eye, or visual field impairment preventing a driver from meeting license standards. So if you had the eyelids drooping enough to block your side vision, then that might keep you from passing the driver's vision test. And for those types of people, this wasn't as beneficial. It says the selection of a surgical procedure to correct ptosis is primarily based on the patient's function of the muscle that lifts the lid and the extent of the drooping of the lid, according to Dr. Cahill. So that's a good validation for the fact that when someone has eyelids that are significantly droopy, we recommend having them lifted or treated in order to maximize the vision, particularly when they're symptomatic. And so many of these types of things which could be either cosmetic or functional, the way we differentiate is by figuring out how much it interferes with someone's daily activities and lifestyle. And so insurance companies often say, oh, well, your eyelid is droopy. Well, that's just cosmetic. We won't pay for that. So it's often up to us as surgeons to demonstrate to the insurance company and to the patient and whoever else is interested that there actually is likely to be a benefit to fixing the eyelids. And the way we do that is by measuring the peripheral vision. We measure your side vision or peripheral vision with your eyelids normally drooping. and we see what you can see and what you can't see. And then we tape the eyelids up to simulate what it would be like once the lid was lifted surgically. And then we measure the peripheral vision again. And so with the eyelids taped up out of the way, you should see a significant improvement in the peripheral vision compared with the eyelids hanging down. So this is something that is commonly done to assess whether drooping of the eyelids help. Now, you can fixing the drooping of the eyelids helps. Now, you can do this little test at home. If you think that your lids may be getting in your way, what you can do is you can kind of use your fingers. Clean your hands first. You don't want to be touching around your eyes with dirty fingers. But with your clean fingers, lift your eyelids a little bit and see if that seems to improve your vision at all or maximize your vision at all. And so if you are able to see better with the eyelids lifted up a little bit, then that suggests that maybe surgery to correct the drooping lids could be right for you. It could be a good idea for you to try to maximize your vision. So this is something that people often, as they get older, their lids become somewhat more droopy. The extra skin hangs down a little bit. The effects of gravity over 70 or 80 years will make the skin on your upper eyelids hang down a little bit more, especially if you're Asian and have a little bit smaller opening of the eyes to begin with. That extra skin can be significant, and it can come down enough that it interferes with the vision. So by lifting the lids, by lifting that up and seeing how much better your vision is, that will help you determine whether you might be a candidate for a surgical procedure to lift the lids. Now, at any time, you can have that done for cosmetic reasons. If there are women who have Asian eyelids who would rather have more Western-looking eyelids, and they can have what they call a double eyelid procedure, which is to create a lid crease, which is higher in the eyelid and causes a more Western-appearing or Caucasian-appearing look to the eyelids versus an Asian look. Some people like to have that, and that's purely cosmetic surgery, and that's something that obviously a cosmetic surgeon is usually happy to do too, if that's something that you want, but it's not going to be paid for by your insurance. So if you're concerned that drooping lids may be interfering with your vision in a way that is significant and making it harder to see, then that very well may be covered by insurance, and certainly something that's worth checking out with your eye specialist. The one sort of thing that we worry a little bit about with people who are having their eyelids corrected, having the eyelid correction surgery, is that sometimes when the lids are lifted a little bit higher, it does cause more exposure of the eye to the air around it. And with more exposure of the eye, the surface of the eye may dry out a little bit faster. The same people who have droopy eyelids, mostly an older population, tend to also have dryness of the surface of the eyes a little bit more. And so we do worry a little bit about dryness of the surface of the eyes in people who have their eyelids repaired or corrected to lift the lids. So we often do an assessment for dryness of the surface of the eye before recommending this type of surgery to lift the lids. And if the eyes are too dry, we may recommend living with the drooping rather than exposing yourself to significant discomfort and perhaps blurring and other things from the lifting the eyelids perhaps too far so that the surface of the eye is more exposed. Some people who have these procedures to lift the lids look a little bit wide open to begin with, like a kind of a staring look, and over time they come down to an appropriate position. So sometimes it is reasonable to a little bit overcorrect the problem so that the normal aging changes and stretching of the tissue as it heals over time, bring the eyelids back to a more appropriate position so that the final result is a good position of the eyelid, but the initial result may look like it's a little bit wider open than you'd like to see. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some more eye news and, of course, take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Well, we've been talking about all kinds of things today. We've been talking about cataracts. We talked about LASIK. We talked about droopy eyelids, all kinds of things. It's time for you to let us know what you want to talk about, but there's not much time left. We've only got about 10 minutes left in the program. So give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call if you want to talk to us live here Saturday morning. And we're happy to take your calls and see what questions you would like to talk about. The thing that that we will go to next while we're waiting for calls is some information that has come in during the week about some different medical and eye-related issues. Here's yet another article about one of the significant negatives associated with smoking. It says here, smokers are more likely to face surgery with thyroid disease. Smokers with thyroid eye disease are twice as likely to require strabismus surgery as non-smokers, further confirming the damaging role smoking plays in the autoimmune disease, according to a study published in the December issue of Ophthalmology. The doctor who did this study examined the records of 425 of the hospital's thyroid eye disease patients who were seen by the same clinical team from 1997 through 2002. The researchers studied data for the 378 patients whose smoking status was recorded at the initial visit. The age-adjusted analysis revealed that smokers were far more likely to require surgery to correct the misalignment of the eyes, to correct double vision in thyroid disease, than non-smokers. So among the patients in the study population, 83 required the surgery, including 19 of 138 non-smokers, or 14%, and 51 of 196 smokers, or 26%. So it's 14% versus 26%. So 7 of the 44 patients who had quit smoking in the last 5 years required surgery. So there was somewhere in the middle for people who had quit smoking. So another reason to reduce your smoking or eliminate smoking, particularly if you have thyroid eye disease. That's something to bear in mind. I'd never seen that connection before, and so something that's good to know. Let's go to the phones. We've got Frank standing by in Kona. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Doc. Doc, I just pulled over, and I'm not going to, in other words, I was driving, but I am pulled over. I'm going to ask a question if you'd be so kind, and then I'll hang up and listen to you.
Sure.
I had cataract surgery in my late 30s. I'm now in my late 60s, and I was wondering what the average life expectancy is for the lenses, at least the ones that were put in at that time when I was in my late 30s, which is 30 years ago.
Yeah, they should last you forever. Just a brief
answer. They should.
Yeah. Shouldn't
okay,
be.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there were 20-year lenses, 30-year lenses, 40-year lenses, what have you.
No, I'll talk more about it when you hang up, but that basic answer is...
All right,
answer
and thank you. I'll go ahead and sign off now and look forward to hearing what you have to say, and you've got a great show. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. So... lenses that are placed in the eye, the way that the initial scientists who did the research to figure out how you could put a lens in the eye that would be safe and stable and basically last forever, the research was done after World War II, when a lot of medical research was done, because there were so many injuries, so many different types of injuries during the war, that people learned a whole lot about how the body worked just by trying to deal with some of these types of injuries. And one of the unique types of injuries that this particular British eye surgeon called Harold Ridley had found is that he found that there were a number of patients that he had who were shot down from the Royal Air Force. They were flying sorties over the enemy lines, and they were shot down, and they were rescued and saved. And since they were shot down in their airplane, some of them had injuries where the windscreen or the windshield of the airplane had fractured, and tiny pieces or shards of the windscreen had gone inside their eye. And so the windscreens were made of a plastic called Perspex or polymethyl methacrylate. And these patients who had pieces of windshield in their eyes from the planes, actually their eyes did okay. And he followed them over time, and he realized that these little pieces of plastic in the eye really did cause no reaction whatsoever inside the eye. The eye could survive perfectly well with these pieces of plastic in there. And so basically what he said, he kind of made this leap of imagination, which was quite remarkable at the time, where he said, well, if plastic can stay inside the eye without a problem, why don't we create plastic lenses that can then go inside the eye after the natural lens or the cataract is removed in the eye, and we can put these lenses in the eyes, and people can see better after cataract surgery. And so he developed the first crude intraocular lens implant. Now, they've improved a lot since then, and for the past probably 35, 40 years, we've been using lens implants as a standard implants at the time of cataract surgery. So all of these implants are made of materials that function perfectly well inside the eye and never really wear out or change or have a shelf life. Now, there are certain models of lens implants that were manufactured at certain times early in the process that don't tend to treat the eyes as well, that the eyes tend to develop problems over time. The particular caller who called before, just a short while ago, if you're not having difficulty with your eyes at this point, 30, 35 years later, it's unlikely that you're going to have problems. But the next time you're in seeing your eye doctor, you can ask whether the type of lens implant, the style of lens implant that you have in your eye, is associated with any particular types of problems or issues down the road, years later. But the majority of all the implants that were used and that have been used cause no trouble at all. And there are some people who had these implants in their eyes when they were relatively young, back in the 50s or so, 50s or 60s, that have had these implants for 50 years, and that hasn't been a problem. So the likelihood is that the implant will never cause any problem, not change. And if it hasn't caused trouble in 30 years, I think the likelihood that it's going to cause trouble in the future is extremely low. Now, while we're talking about lens implants, there are a few things that you need to be aware of in terms of the lens implants that correct the vision. A lot of people hear, when we talk to them about cataract surgery, they hear, "You're going to put a lens in my eye? Oh my goodness, what do I have to do? Do I have to clean it? Do I have to take it out? Do I have to polish it? You know, does it wear out?" And so the answer to all of these questions is basically that that lens functions in your eye as well as the natural lens in your eye functions throughout your life. So once that lens is in your eye, and if it's stable and everything else about the eye is healthy, you haven't had an injury, you don't have some other problem in the eye that predisposes you to other issues, then that lens is just going to stay there and you're never going to know it's there. It sits in the eye the same as the natural lens does, and it continues to focus light because the light just passes right through it. So those lenses are basically, they're permanent, and they have no real, maintenance that's required on these lenses. And so once it's in there and it's focusing the light in your eye, it just stays in there, and it doesn't really change significantly. Now, once in a while, there are other conditions that affect the eyes. If you had a severe injury, for example, and that knocked the lens out of position, whether it's your natural lens in your eye or the lens implant. It can theoretically be knocked out of position by a hard enough blow to your head or to your eye. And so if that happens, that certainly could require treatment for that lens implant. Some people have a little predisposition for the lens, the natural lens in the eye, to be loose. And when we put in the implant, then the implant is in the same place as the natural lens in the eye. So if the natural lens might be loose, the implant also might be loose or might become loose over time. So those are things that once in a while come up. But the vast majority of people, probably 98, 99% of people who have lens implants in their eye, they're there for good. They don't cause problems. They don't need to be changed. They don't need to be cleaned. They don't need to be removed. It's not like a contact lens. It's actually a permanent part of your eye once it's been implanted inside the eye. So it's a permanent lens implant. So it's kind of like, you know, think about it. If you have hip replacement surgery, right? You've got an artificial hip. So that just becomes a part of your body. The problem with artificial hips is they don't always last forever, whereas artificial lenses in the eyes do essentially last forever. So that's an advantage that we have in the field of ophthalmology, I suppose. So the likelihood is that the lens implant that you had in your eye at the time of the cataract surgery, even if it was many, many years ago, should continue to be fine for many, many years to come. We've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope that you have too. I'd like to thank Andrea for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making the show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. If you learned something new, you can always listen again next week, or you can listen to us online, or subscribe to our podcast. Go to www.hawaiianeye.com. Look for the information, public information about us, and you'll find an opportunity to subscribe to our podcast. If you have questions, you can always email them to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. So don't forget to check out the website, www.hawaiianeye.com. Look for us on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center, or Twitter. My handle is Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. I don't know if they call it a handle. My name, my username on Twitter, Dr. Tortora. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. Thank you for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.